As you meditate, bring your attention inward. Back to the source of your awareness. And allow the body to relax while the back remains straight. With the body in a comfortable position, let all the muscles soften and decontract. And allow all the ego defenses to fall away so that you abide in naked awareness, pure presence, free of thought, free of emotion, free of any wandering images, memories, fantasies, or affects, and allow yourself to focus on your inmost being. Sustain the inner silence. And when the mind is completely still and empty of thought, including the I thought, then notice the serenity, the peace, spaciousness, the freedom of the self, the fullness of the energy that abides at the core of your being. Let the breathing slow down to such a point that there is a long period between one out-breath and the next in-breath. And as the body rests and the mind rests, feel the full awakening and illumination of the inmost consciousness. Cultivate the stillness and feel how the life energy increases as the silence continues. Keep the mind completely still, with no agitation or mental movement. The luminous awareness will increase by itself. Feel the peace deepening the longer you remain in the stillness. Keep the silence unbroken, uninterrupted, so that the batteries of the soul are charged. The longer you stay in the silence until it becomes your natural state, the more you will realize that you are consciousness. The body is just a temporary vehicle. The mind is its operating system, but is not you. The self that you are is luminous awareness, formless, non-local, and you are the one consciousness. That contains all that is, and all that appears is only a manifestation of consciousness. There is nothing outside consciousness. Abide in the serenity of the unchanging self that is always in total presence. The self is unborn, undying, unaffected by what appears in space and time. The self is beyond all narratives. And never forgets its own nature. Realize you are that. Feel the prana, the life energy, flowing from the self into the body, restoring the health of the body. Restoring the fullness of consciousness. Healing all the past traumas, releasing all identifications and attachments, and enabling the realization of freedom to be felt. fully enter into the sense of the real I, the real self that is eternal. Completely extract the consciousness from the ego mind. And attain the freedom of your being. Abide as awareness, free of thought constructs, free of beliefs, free of attachment to the body or the world. Realize it is all your dream. The expression of consciousness. But there is only the self, the one self, that manifests as the multiplicity. Which has now returned to unity. And offer up the ego mind to the Supreme Self. Allow it to dissolve. So that you never again fall into illusion. And abide as the self even after the formal meditation ends, so that the eternal self in its endlessness remains awakened and illumined. And your real nature is fully established. At every level of your consciousness, in every state of consciousness, whether awake or dreaming or in deep sleep. Ever recognizing and abiding as the self. Shivaya. Shiva Nama. Om. Shivoham. Aham. Aham. Om Tat Sat. Namaste. because of where we are in the cycle of time, the urgency of the transcendence of the ego illusion is reaching an extreme point for yogis. We must become Mahayogis now. We must become yogis who never fall into the illusion of the ego, but remain always aware of the real self and abiding in that self, so that we are never deceived by our own minds and brought into one of the veils of suffering that the ego is so clever at covering over your consciousness with, to create a sense of lack and of other emotions that bring unhappiness. We must keep the light lit and shining without obscuration, and in that state of universal consciousness rather than an individual illusory consciousness, in order to have the strength and the stability and the power of the universal self to bring to bear in every moment and every situation, so that we can break through the glitches and the dense negative vibrations that would otherwise create obstacles, both externally and internally. We must be free of any of those obstacles and be able to function to free others. So it is imperative to remain in self-realization 24/7 and not fall into ego chatter or its accompanying affects of anxiety and depression and anger and fear and all of its stories and narratives and manipulations and karmic enmeshments that create suffering and that cut the connection to the source of your being and the flow of life energy that enables you to rise to ever higher states. We must reach Paramashiva. We must reach the state of the absolute now in order not to be affected by the kinds of events that will be occurring on the phenomenal plane. That immunity to the contamination of real one by the dark and demonic forces of the collective ego must be able to be overcome and dissolved by the power of your conscious realization of the truth that all is pervaded by the presence of the Supreme Being, and enable the luminosity of that presence to emanate boundlessly from the center of your being throughout the cosmos without limitation. This cosmic consciousness is beyond the imagination, let alone the event horizon of the ego, but it is our real nature. And now is the time to return to it so that that power flows through us into the world to offer help to those who are drowning in fear and confusion and hopelessness, and to bring hope and light and empowerment by lighting up the noosphere of the planet with that divine consciousness. This is our service. And so we must leave behind the egocentric mind in order to serve the whole. Thus, the sacrifice of the ego is our offering in order to be of help to the world that is suffering because of the ego. And once we have popped the quantum wave function of ego consciousness as a structure that has disseminated through the morphogenetic field of the planet, that elimination of the ego illusion will spread like wildfire and allow all souls to awaken to the real nature of their being and return the world to unity and peace and the light of the one self. But we must go first in that and do what seems impossible. And to do that, we must let go of all the resistances of the ego and its cynicism and its unloving and uncaring nature. And we must let go of all of its defenses so that we ourselves are permeated by the love of God and the power of goodness, so that we can spread that power to a world that has lost faith in the reality of God and goodness, and bring that as a palpable vibrational frequency, not just a belief, not just a hope, not just an imaginary dogma, but as a realized power. But to do that, we must have gone through the eye of the needle so that no trace of the ego remains, and the unlimited consciousness of the cosmos shines through our vehicles. So that's the reason for the satsang tonight, in addition to the fact that I couldn't find a good movie to watch, and there aren't very many anymore, and I think we are not in need of films that create paranoia and that simply produce a consciousness that brings us down to a political level of multiplicity and the duality of good and evil. But we must go beyond that frame of reference in order to realize the unified field of the absolute reality and leave behind the relative and the imaginary, which is all that can be produced by filmmakers. Because the real is not visible and is not narratable. And so we must leave behind our own addiction to stories and images and commentaries about a world that itself is unreal, and return to the silence of the absolute presence beyond space and time, which is our real nature, so that a new cycle of time can emerge from the absolute presence. So I hope you understand the necessity of not delaying any longer your realization of the Supreme Self that is the core and essence of who you are, and bring that from the background and the suppressed state into the foreground, and allow the light to shine through your eyes and through your third eye, and to fill the world with that luminous power of realization that transforms everything you see into the realization that all is the one self, all is a perfect manifestation of God. You and everything you see are all the same one self, the one substance and essence of reality that is pure consciousness, transcendent and immanent. And abide in that unified field as its dreamer, its master, its author, and its servant, so that the field is raised to the consciousness of the dreamer and the dream itself. Unifies itself into the wholeness that your consciousness alone can bring about through the power of love. Love of all that is. Love of the self that produces all that is. Unconditional and absolute love is the only power that can bring us out of this hell realm that the ego has produced in its hatred of itself and of its world. May we become those lovers of God who are able to express that love in relationships with all whom we meet and all the objects in the world that are also manifestations of the One Self. And be free of judgment, and be free of all that separates us from the whole. Namaste. So the floor is open if anyone has any comments or questions. I think people have received the book, yeah, with that sent out?
It's in their inboxes.
It's in their inboxes, okay. Well, whether you've started it or not, I hope you enjoy it and that it will bring additional vibrational raising of frequency and probably additional questions and wonderment about the nature of reality that is expressed in the book. But I hope that it brings joy and mind expansion and heart opening. And so we'll be continuing to study that and to explore its implications in the coming weeks. So I hope that you delve into it sufficiently to have questions about it. But floor is open. Hmm.
ask about this word Mahayogi. I think it's the second time you use it, mm-hmm. at least recently. And you mentioned that it is the yogi that never returns to Maya, who is a. But I was wondering if you could speak a little more about it and expand a little bit on it, because you're asking us to be Mahayogis.
Indeed.
So it would be very useful.
God is asking that of you.
God is asking us to be Mahayogis at this time. So.
Well, okay, first of all, it's a term that appears quite often in the texts of the Kashmir Shaivite tradition, which, in my humble opinion, is actually the highest spiritual lineage, the most accurate, the most clear, the most highly developed lineage of spiritual understanding in the world. And we're going to be studying the Kashmir Shaivite texts in the coming weeks, which I have been preparing and have been trying to figure out how best to present them, because there's a great deal of literature, and some of it is very complex, and to let us get into it in a systematic and graduated way, so that we are clear about the nature of the path that it is describing. So the goal of yoga is to be one with Maheshvara, the great Lord, the supreme being, the supreme level of consciousness. Consciousness is a spectrum. All is consciousness. Even what you think of as matter is consciousness. But the supreme level of consciousness is the level that we want to abide at, to reach, because that is the level that creates, sustains, and transforms what appears at the lower levels. So that is where the power is, that's where the intelligence is, that's where the joy, the bliss is, that's where the love is, that's where the creative imagination is. All of the cities, all of the powers latent in our individual consciousness come from that highest level. And only by activating that and connecting, becoming yogis with that, are we able to express that in our lives. Okay? So the Mahayogi, the great yogi, is the one who is attuned and connected to the greater self, the supreme self. And is not obscuring that self by egoic chatter or intentionality that is egocentrically based, but is always based in the will of God. Okay, so that's a Mahayogi. And a mere yogi is one who is striving to reach that, but who falls. So we don't want to fall. We want to establish ourselves at least in Viveka. Viveka Point is the base camp for the climbing of the mountain of God, and in which you recognize if or when you have fallen into Maya. You recognize it immediately because you have recognized God. If you haven't yet recognized the God self, you can't recognize when you have fallen into Maya, because you're always in Maya. And so the only way to be able to understand what it is not to be in Maya is to reach the real consciousness of the God self. And then that is so blissful, so beautiful, so intelligent, so clear, that you don't want to fall. But until you have realized what your option is, if you're just in the ego, you don't know that there's something beyond the ego. You've never gone there. And so the ego's intentions, its motives, its desire for gratification at the lowest level of consciousness will obviously take over your mind and will lead you to create more enmeshment with that lower level of consciousness. And the higher level will be something that you won't even believe in, that you'll think is woo-woo, or they're on drugs, or they're in some delusionary state, when it's the ego that's the delusional state. But the ego, because it's a collective delusion, feels normal, feels like this is what human consciousness is. But it's not. It's a tiny sliver of the potential of what your consciousness could be. But to open that potential, to activate it, to awaken it into its fullness and have its latent powers become activated requires us to reach that level of consciousness where we're able to wield those powers with wisdom. And so there's a fail-safe mechanism that prevents you from having power that you are not able to use in the service of the whole. And that includes knowledge, that includes the capacity to understand. So there's a limited range that your consciousness has at the ego level, but that range is too small to be able to function under the conditions that the world is now entering into. We have to have reached at least the soul level of consciousness to be able to be stable under the pressures of the kind of situations that we're going to be facing in the near future. The ocean of consciousness is getting very choppy, and soon there will be tsunamis coming. They're not just in the Caribbean and the Atlantic and the external oceans. They're affecting everyone's consciousness. And don't think your little lake of consciousness is immune from the tides of that ocean. We are all connected. And so as the collective becomes very dark and ominous and oppressive and tyrannical, then all of those kinds of vibrational frequencies of the planetary noosphere will affect everyone in it. But at the same time, those who have reached a more coherent state that is based in the higher level of reality will be able to overcome and put at ease those tsunamis. Just as, was it Moses who was able to make the Red Sea part, right? Because of God's will that one crossed out of the illusory state of Egypt into the Mount Sinai of the real self. So in the same way, we have to be able to part the waters of the stormy consciousness and be able to pass through that Red Sea and find our own promised nature that awaits us. But if we are without the belief that it's possible to cross, then we will be stuck in enslavement as strangers in a strange and becoming ever stranger land of egos that are cracking up before our eyes and melting down and losing their grip. And as the pressures become ever stronger, we require a countervailing strength that can only come from the real self. There is no other source of strength that we can call upon. But very few of us are calling upon our higher nature. Very few of us have reached that level where we are open enough, where our hearts can even receive the kind of help that is available to us because of the tunnel vision of the ego and its limited intentionality and belief systems that keep the mind and the heart from uniting and from opening up to the full potentiality of what consciousness can offer. So it is this opening to an unknown self that requires a leap into the unknown, into the silence in which you are able to receive and download information that's not available in books and not available on the internet and in movies, but that will come from the source that will enable you to master the situations that we will be facing. this capacity is required and will only be achieved if we have become masters over our own minds and not its victims and the slaves of its desires and its fears. Hope that answers your question. Amid.
Thank you, Shunya. I have a question about the raising of kundalini by the means of pranayama or, you know, different exercises and things that are out there. I was wondering what your opinion about that is.
It can have a temporary effect, but if you're depending upon the breathing exercises to alter your consciousness, then you won't be able to sustain it. So you can have the effect of a hyperventilation, for example, that will silence the mind. It'll give you that tetany in your hands as well, and it'll cause other not-so-pleasant side effects, but it will have a temporary effect. But you want to be able to keep the mind silent at all times and downloading and in attunement to the universal consciousness. So for that, what you want to do is a very particular kind of pranayama, which is that in which the breathing almost stops, and there's a long period between one in-breath and the next out-breath, etc., so that in the stillness of the body and the stillness of the mind, you're able to connect to the source of consciousness, and it creates a pillar of light, literally, that goes from the Muladhara to the Sahasrara to the source. And then all of that luminosity fills the whole nervous system and dissolves whatever traumas remain in the central nervous system or the peripheral, and allows a purification of the brain and the nervous system, and then all the muscular contractions will be released, and there will be a complete attunement and unification with the source that will then not require any further exercises. So you want to do that. You don't want to be constantly practicing. You want to have become a master that no longer needs those techniques. So you want to start with the realization that that's what you are. Not try to build up to it, because you'll never get there, because the ego will always stop you out of its fear of the infinite. When it gets to silence for too long, it becomes afraid, and then it starts chattering again and bringing you down. That's why these techniques don't work. So you have to get to that point where your soul is ripe and ready for the release of the ego, and then you can do it all in one sitting through the silencing of the mind and keeping the body in a state of such relaxation and stillness without any agitation that all there is the heartbeat moving, but there's total silence. And in that silence, the luminosity of the self is fully felt and fills the body. And then you're free. Okay.
Thank you.
Bajra.
Thank you. I have a question about beliefs, because you said just now that we have to believe in the possibility. But you've also said before that it's not about beliefs, that beliefs are limitations. So
sure.
Can you speak about the...
Yeah, it's a temporary thing to overcome the belief that it's impossible. You want to understand that, of course, it's possible. It's our nature. There is plenty of testimony from those who have achieved it. So that's like the thorn that removes the other thorn. But then you throw that one in the fire also, because once you realize that you don't need a belief anymore... But at least it opens up the passageway in order to have the realization. So that's all it is. Okay? It's a neutralization of a negative belief. Okay, Amrita.
Hey, Thank you. You just spoke about being the soul needs to be ripe and ready to let the ego go. Can you expand more on that?
There does have to be a cognitive recognition that the ego is a dead end of consciousness. It's deteriorating. It can't bring you anywhere. The ego is not capable of learning new things. It's a set of algorithms and intentions that were set a long time ago that has a homeostatic index to it that keeps it from changing and always bringing it back into a contracted state. And with the same thoughts, I can't do it, it's hopeless, I'm inadequate, I lack the ability, and et cetera, et cetera. All those negative thoughts that were installed in the ego cannot be removed by the ego. But once there is a clear realization that the ego is a hopelessly inadequate mechanism, and you're able to realize you're not the ego, then you are ripe and ready to say, well, who am I then? And let go of the thoughts, knowing they're not yours, knowing that they're just a robotic repeating mechanism, an operating system that has no soul, literally, and that has no goal other than keeping itself going and keeping you trapped in it, believing you are it. It's impersonating you. Once you realize that, then you are ripe and ready to destroy it. You realize it's an enemy. It's not who you are. It's your enemy. And it's a mortal enemy because it's keeping you from being the immortal self that you really are. And in that state of believing you're a mortal bodily entity, you can't get out of fear, you can't get out of desire for petty gratifications, and you can't get out of the obsession with what other people are thinking and doing, and the envy and the hatred and all of those attitudes and thoughts that are obscuring your inner light. Once you realize that you don't want that anymore, and that the ego's thoughts, which you were so sure were true and right, are false and delusional, then you realize you want to be in the silence. And then you're ready to sustain that silence long enough to extinguish the ego habit, because that's all it really is, and then allow an upgrade of your consciousness and intelligence from the source to bring you into the realization of the soul and then ultimately of the supreme self. So the ripeness is the recognition that you're not the ego. The ego is not an adequate operating system for you. You've outgrown it, and you want to know who you really are.
Some of those insights come when I'm doing activities or in karma yoga or doing creative things where I see that the ego is limiting and I want to grow beyond that. Mm-hmm. Is that, like, I see that more happening than actually in a sitting meditation. And can, sure, I use those times to help bring me out of the ego?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. That's what it's for, is to improve your actual life. In action in the world, and to give you more power of action than your ego can possibly give you. But it's in meditation and the silencing the mind that you actually remove the ego. You don't do that during action. You can realize it, that you need to do it, and that the ego is an obstacle. But then your meditation should be the releasing yourself from the ego by silencing it. That's how you erase the tapes, and then you create a space, a much larger space that can bring in your infinite self and enable you to not be at the effect of those previous habits of thought that will try to take over again, and you'll be able to keep them silent until they've been extinguished. Okay, that's what you want to use the sitting meditation to accomplish. All right, and in devotion to the real self, who is God, who is worthy of love, right? The first commandment in the Torah, love God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, right? That's what you want to do in meditation, because that love creates the union that brings you into oneness with God and realize that God is yourself. But you can only do that when you're fully focused and your attention is absolutely undistracted. Okay?
In the last retreat, I can't remember if it was something that you read or something that you stated in a teaching, but it's something that has stayed with me very, very strongly since the retreat, which was we have to come from observing to serving. And I wanted to sort of ask about that, because I see that my ego moves so fast and observes very, very quickly, deciding what everything is, and the serving, that space that is created in order to allow things to know what to do, for there to be a Wu Wei, right? And just to be open to serve the field and to abide in a certain, it's a sort of paradoxical passivity. It's not passive at all, but yet there's a repose, let's say. Can you speak about how to cultivate that space?
It's the repose of a great martial artist whose total relaxation enables a very fast response that is able to be in the immediacy of that awareness that can detect a movement of, in that case, of an opponent before the movement actually takes place, so that one is able to lead the movement rather than follow it and be at the effect of it and bring it into a spiral form that brings it down to the ground, if in an Aikido metaphor. So the repose is one which is so powerful that it literally slows down time and enables an observation that is itself the service of the being, by the recognition that what you are perceiving is the presence of God, nothing else. And without a differentiating consciousness that's trying to constantly judge and label and predict and do all of these things at a symbolic level, that then produces projections that have then a backlash effect of counter projections and of a production of the, let's say, the visualization and the manifestation of your own shadow, which is what you're seeing then in the other by observing it, you will be able to turn into light. And by serving that light, then the entirety of the whole that is being served, which includes one's own entity, one's own vehicle, becomes a manifestation of that light. So the service which gets the ego out of the way enables the wholeness and the unity to manifest without antagonistic vibrations that creates a kind of a dueling consciousnesses sort of situation. That is what most people are dealing with in the ego level. And who can think faster and who can, right, prove their superiority in whatever the field of action is. So once you're beyond that game, then what will come out will really be a service to all rather than an attempt to prove yourself or show your superiority. but to bring all to that oneness that is our true nature. So I hope that helps. Hanuman.
Thank you, Shunya. Appreciate when you were speaking to Nirguna. I remember you in the retreat talking about the observation part of it being objectifying.
Mm-hmm.
And I see how it's that I objectify myself that then creates that everyone else is also an object in my mind. And I'm wondering, is that just totally inherent in the level of ego consciousness, or is there mm-hmm. actually something that from that state of being, feeling like an object myself that needs to be desired and that desires other objects
mm-hmm.
can be done to move to a level of subjectivity, or is it just eliminating the ego completely that's the only way to release that?
Well, they're the same. To really go to true subjectivity is to leave the ego. It's only at the soul level that there you really become a true subject. Okay, the ego is consciousness filtered through the belief that you are the object, you are the body. That's me. You look in the mirror and see a body image and you say, that's me. That's what the ego does. It identifies with an image of a body. And so it considers itself to be an object to the other. And so it's always concerned about the desire of the other for that object to make sure that it always remains in a safe and good position and gets approval and validation and all the things that the ego wants. So that's what ego consciousness is. It's self-objectification and then objectification of every other consciousness and treating them as bodies. So to get out of that into true subjectivity, then you'll begin to discover who you are. But the word subject means also under, right, someone. You're a subject of the king or the queen. So the subject, even though it may be free of the ego, it's still under and is dependent upon a higher level of consciousness that is not local, that is not identified with language. So even when you're no longer identified with the gross body, there will still be an identification with thought and with conceptualization and with the use of language in order to be able to master the bodies of the world. So body and mind are both levels that must be transcended to reach the true, independent, free spirit that is the real self. But that subject level is one step, at least, out of the total enslavement to body consciousness that the ego is in. Okay.
I've been observing a much more natural movement in my meditations in accepting silence. It's very interesting that this shift between, you know, the work to silence the mind and a recognition that it's an acceptance that is now accessible, that's almost like a sliding into. It's no longer a struggle, but this aspect of just accepting it.
Mm-hmm. Who's accepting it?
who's accepting it? It just is. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the silence is itself is accepting itself as silence. Mm. There's not really a movement. Mm. You are the silence.
Yeah.
So eliminate the last illusion that there is an I thought that could choose not to be silent. Mm. Okay.
Indeed. Okay. So there was one line. I won't go into too much of it, but in one of your essays, and you said it wasn't actually a shift. Mm-hmm. It's being. The meaning one receives is, or the meaning of the shift is mm-hmm. not as important. Mm-hmm. It's actually the realization that it's being. That mm-hmm. that's what the meaning was all about.
Yes. It'll first appear as a shift if you're in ego consciousness. But in fact, that's the real consciousness that you had shifted out of by forgetting who you are and producing an illusory entity or image that you believed in. So that once that false belief is removed, then you realize there's no shifter and no shifting, and there's only the one silent presence.
So what you said before is there's just an acceptance of the self.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's being accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah.
And there's no one to accept it. Okay? Because you already are it. So who is accepting what? You know, you just are the self. Okay? So it's not. It's a non-event. Yeah. Even though it's the ultimate event, it's a non-event. Mm-hmm. Because it never happens in time or in space. It's eternal. It's what you were before you were born and before there was anything, you know, before the Big Bang, before the singularity that we're returning to. That's what you are, unchanging.
Thank you.
Amrita.
So after your response, I had like guilty feelings come up.
See what the ego does to you.
But they have. But I wanted to know, like, is that a healthy form?
No.
Because it's
you're not
feels...
guilty. Your ego wants to make you guilty. How could you be guilty? You're God. God is not guilty of anything. Except forgetting who he is, and that's who you are. He, she, doesn't matter. It's that, and you are that. So the guilt is an illusion. Whose voice is telling you you're guilty? You know, let them show themselves. It's an illusory voice. There's no judge here saying you're guilty. You know, if they are, let them cast the first stone because they're not guilty. But that voice is itself the ego's delusion. Why does it do that? Because when you're in the ego, there is such a fear of abandonment that you'd prefer a voice attacking you than silence. So you create attacking voices that say you're guilty or you're foolish or you're this or you're that in order to believe you exist and that there's a voice that will always be with you. Okay? So the ego is a duet. It's ego, superego. There's never one without the other. But that superego that impersonates God, right, as if it's God telling you you're guilty, that you believe is what keeps you then in a very limited, contracted state. So the guilt is a delusion. The voice that said it is a delusional voice. And the one that it's saying it about doesn't really exist. Except as your own imagination.
Okay, thank you. Doesn't that
produce motivation for one to like open the heart? Okay, my heart's not open. Okay, I'll open, and the guilty feelings come up, and then
the very idea that there's an I that must decide to open its heart is the delusion. The heart is always open. The heart is pure love. It never closes. The ego closes off to the heart, but that's only a thought form. It's not real. But the heart is always blissful. That's what you are, the blissful self, Satchidananda. Don't think you're anything else. But every thought the ego has will convince you you're not Satchidananda. So therefore, you have to stop thinking until the real intelligence of the true self is the active principle of your consciousness. Okay? Good. Is this strange to you, David? Is this satsang strange to you?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Are you enjoying it at all?
As well. Yeah.
Do you have any questions?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? Ask me one.
No, not now.
No?
I'm in the first stage. I'm in the listening stage.
Ah, okay. Are you shy?
Sometimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Don't be inhibited here, because there's no point to it. And let yourself ask anything. Nothing is too elementary. Okay, I want you to feel at home here and to be able to speak out whatever your doubts are, or whatever your contrary beliefs are, or whatever else you're dealing with, that you can feel uninhibited in expressing yourself. Okay. Okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
Is there any other question, comment, dharma combat, anything before we adjourn? Nirgun, one more.
You mentioned the crossing of the Red Sea. And it's funny, today I heard a rabbi speaking about the fact that only 20% of the Israelites actually left Egypt and went with Moses. And then out of those, most of them fell for the golden calf. What is it about the ego that's so, and we see it now as well in the world writ large, what is it about the ego that's so addicted to enslavement? And in my own right, there's only a slither of a fragment that will, God willing, make it through back to the singularity, right? The rest of me is like a slave.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that you would not be part of the 20% that would leave Egypt?
No, anyway. I would be. I'd have a problem with the golden calf. That would be that temptation. Would I have had the discernment to know? I don't know.
But it's very interesting, because the golden calf was the accepted orthodox image of God up until that time. That Moses said no more, that now God is incorporeal and without an image. But it was the image. They took that with them. It wasn't just that they suddenly in the middle of the desert decided to worship a cow. You know, this was, and they got it from India, right? The sacred cow is the Jews are really Shiva worshippers. The candle, the Ner Tamid, that's above the Ark of the Torah, that's Shiva Lingam. And so the original beliefs were of the goddess in the form of the cow, of the milk of loving kindness, etc. It wasn't some evil belief, okay? And it was, as I say, the orthodox belief until Moses came down from the mountain with a whole new understanding of God as bodiless, formless, infinite presence that cannot be worshipped in any form. So that's not the problem. Okay, the problem is the not wanting to leave Egypt because it's known, you can deal with it, okay, it's a, you know, enslavement, it's drudgery, but at least you get fed and, you know, clothed and all of that. Whereas you go out in the desert, you don't have any of that, right? There's no guarantees. So it's that total trust that you'll be able to make it without the supports of the ego mind and its jouissance and its attachments and its chatter and its opinions and all of that, that you can leave that behind and then realize the true God in the silence of the self that has to follow that first commandment of loving God with all your heart, right? So it's that gives the faith that enables the Red Sea to open and for one to cross. But, you know, I doubt that the Israelites actually took a census and figured it was only 20%. So I'm not sure about this whole idea. But nonetheless, I think it's probably true that only 20% of our consciousness has enough free will to extract the rest of it from the ego identifications. And that's why you have to use whatever margin of free will that there is to love the real self, not the ego, and let that love draw you out of Egypt, out of the lower levels of consciousness, into the mountain of God. But your love has to be undistracted and uncontaminated by a contrary desire for the ego enjoyments, or you won't get out of Egypt in time. Okay, so this is the test that everyone is in. We're all being weighed in the scales of God. Are we going to get out of the ego, or are we going to stay in it? And very few will get out. Most will stay in the ego, and will allow the ego to convince them that it's impossible. And those beings who are trying to get out are fools. Let's just enjoy our slavery. So this is the test that you cannot use others as comparisons. Well, they're not doing it, therefore, why should I do it? You have to go entirely alone and go first. You can't follow because others are waiting for you, and your projection of the dream will not allow the dream to lead you. You have to lead it. And you have to go where no one has gone before, right? Beyond all frontiers, and to do that without any roadmap, even you have to go into the emptiness and know absolutely nothing, and be okay with knowing nothing, because everything you knew is the bondage, because it's all false knowledge, and that's why. It's so important to recognize that emptiness is the freedom. The fullness comes after you've gone into the emptiness, into the desert, and then the fullness of the promised land is given. But there has to be an acceptance that you know nothing, you are nothing, and you're in total acceptance, unconditionally, of all that appears, and that you are... You are always in the under the protection of the Almighty Consciousness that is your own source of being, and by having faith and trust and love for that source, you will be guided. But you have to. That's all you have is that faith and devotion to the only source of power and of life and of truth that is, and through that you'll find the freedom you're seeking. Okay. Hope that's of some help. Tremendous. Isn't it Lashana Tova now, right? It's the new year, yeah? Today, yeah. Went today?
No, in a few days.
In a few days, okay. What's it?
Sunday, maybe?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, wait, we're Saturday. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I thought it was, yeah. So it's a new year. It's a new kalpa. And it's very important to recognize that newness is our true nature. We're always new in every moment. And don't let the past contaminate your present consciousness. Even if it was 2 minutes ago, it's gone. It has no power to control you. And that's why you're not guilty. Even if you had a thought that was inaccurate, you're not guilty because it's the past, and the past doesn't really exist. Only the present is real. And in the present, we are all innocent and pure and divine. But don't leave the present for the illusion of time. Okay. Not as good as a movie, okay, no popcorn, but I hope you enjoyed it a little bit. Yes, did anyone find that this was valuable? Okay, yes. I hope so. If anyone has any suggestions for feature films, I'll be willing to take them. I'm not against it, but they really have to have some redeeming spiritual value, okay? In any case, I wish you all blessings for your complete liberation from the illusion and the enslavement to the ego consciousness that cheats you of your true powers, and that you give yourself the gift of liberation into your infinite self so that you really know what life is about and why we were created and brought here, and to be able to use that power to free everyone from the chains of a false consciousness that has brought the world into a state of oppression and of suffering that is completely unnecessary. And it's only because of our falling into illusion that we allowed this to happen. So let's reclaim our strength and our goodness and our power and bring the world back to its senses from the current insanity by realizing the true power who rules the world, and not worship and give in to the false powers that are trying to control you both internally and externally. Let's fully assume and claim our power of freedom and bring the force of truth to bear in this world and in the transcendent light, so that all are freed from their imprisonment in the illusion of the matrix. Namaste.